you know, inaudible. Right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for coming. Please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council website, which everybody should have. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recording is not under the council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Service officer who is administrating the meeting. Thank you. Right. Apologies.
Yes, so Chair, we've had apologies from Councillor Capleton, Councillor Bradshaw and Councillor Bailey.
Chair, if I may, Councillor Mercer has sent his apology. I don't know whether it's necessary or not.
Okay, thank you.
And we are quorum, yes?
You are.
Yes. Item 2 on the agenda, minutes of the previous meeting, which was held on the 15th of October. Everybody, I assume, of those who actually were here, have read them. And may I have an approved, a proposal of seconder, approval and seconder.
Well, I
can second them, can't I, because I was there, yes. Disclosure of pecuniary and personal interests, any?
No.
Declaration of party whip?
No.
Item 5, questions under scrutiny committee procedures 11.16?
No, Mr. Chair.
Item 6. Cabinet items for pre-decision scrutiny. 6A. The following items were identified for pre-decision scrutiny from the Cabinet agenda on the 13th of December 2018. It's concerning grants round 3 2018/17 community facilities and community development and engagement grants application. May I actually have the lead member to actually present this? Thank you, Chair.
The report before you sets out the recommendations in relation to the community development and engagement grant applications that have been received in this round. No community facilitation, community facilities grants have been received in this round. The report also recommends that approval is given to run a round 4 in 2018-19 with a focus on environmental projects to enable monies received from Serco to support projects with environmental outcomes to be spent. That should be coming to Cabinet in March. Under the assessment process, the grants are handled, assess the applications, get to criteria outlined on pages 8, 9 and 10 of your report. And there's 9 applications that we received in this round. In terms of assessing the applications, the grants panels look very closely at the need for the project, who it's targeting and the breakdown of the project funding, and determines whether the costs are realistic and whether it duplicates any existing service provision. The panel grants are recommended that 8 of the applications are awarded a grant and 1 is recommended to be declined, with 1 being fully funded and 1 partially funded through the local grant scheme. In addition, 1 of the applications is fully funded from the environmental grant scheme. The panel were pleased to see a number of new organisations applying for funding through this grant scheme that have not previously applied. And the panel were also pleased to see a wide-ranging set of applications and are recommending the support of a diverse set of projects ranging from support for targeted youth work, a number of self-help groups to supporting people with substance misuse issues through community prevention and outreach. In addition, the panel recognises the positive outcomes that the projects will have on specialist and hard-to-reach groups across the borough. The grants panel felt that the LEGO application was a very strong application that supported young people's special needs to achieve their potential through the provision of a range of activities that would develop their skills and contribute to their wellbeing. The panel were pleased to see an application from the Passion Youth Centre, an organisation who has not previously applied. The panel could see the positive impact from the youth club provision would have on young people living in Shepshed, would enable the delivery of new cooking sessions for both the young people and a wider intergenerational project, and will provide a wide range of youth diversion activities. The panel also recognised the positive impact from the Exerio Trust Substance Misuse Project would have for individuals within the wider community struggling with substance misuse issues. The project will support one of the needs identified as part of the stakeholder event and community survey that was undertaken as part of the Bell Foundry People's Own Police and Crime Commissioner project. It also fills a gap in current service position. All the details of the application grants are contained within the report in appendix. And appendix one at page, I don't know what page that will be on there actually, is just the full list of all the applications.
Do the officers have anything to add to that?
No, we're just happy to answer any questions.
Have I got any questions to this?
Yes, if I may, Chair, through you. again, it's a real pleasure to see quite a few names I hadn't recognised before, which is the whole idea of these grants, and I think this is great. The questions I have, two or three of them apply, one question applies to two or three of the grants, and I'll use as an example on my page 10 of a paper copy, which is the Without Walls Christian Fellowship. Note that they have a number of these cafes, and this is to apply for the funding for two of the cafes, which are in Loughborough and Shepshire libraries. And my question is, A, how many people do they think this will attract or be with? I know some of the applicants have put in that it's going to be 15 or 20 people. And also, is there some way of ensuring that the money that is granted to them does stay within the borough? This again applies to some of the other groups that have applied for money across. They have other branches outside, and I just wanted to do that. And also some of the other people who've applied, it would be helpful if they could say how many people they were hoping to attract with these grants. For example, Go Getter, how many people did it on page 14? There are a number of them. There's the Loughborough Lego group. They could be for 10 people or they could be 110. So it just gives us an idea of how much this money and how many is going to these people, and also that we ensure that it does stay within the borough of Charnwood.
I'll start. Verity, no doubt, would chip in. In terms of how many, I suppose there is a little bit of an inconsistency in them. All the applications do say, and we don't always put it into the cabinet report, although that's something that the grants panel takes into consideration. And the grants panel also takes into consideration the type of project it is, recognising if it's quite a specialist, like the Lego group. The numbers that they can actually cater for at any one time are quite small, but the number of staff that they have to have or volunteers that they have to have are quite large, or quite large in comparison to other groups. So the grants panel do take that into consideration in terms of how many. I think in the Lego one it does say, if I remember. Or maybe it was just because I was reading the application.
No, it was one of the others.
So in terms of making sure that the money stays within the borough, there is a robust monitoring evaluation procedure. For a number of these applications, we have gone back regarding the breakdown of funding, and to make sure that the funding that we're actually being presented with and the expenditure we're actually being presented with actually just applies to the sessions within the borough. So with the Without Walls, the other two sessions are outside. So we've queried the costs actually for Shepshed and Loughborough and asked for the cost breakdown and clarified that that is just for Loughborough and Shepshed. And as part of the monitoring evaluation, we asked for a breakdown of the costs associated specifically with those sessions. And we asked for interim monitoring and for end of year full monitoring evaluation. And as part of that, that covers the expenditure of the project, but it also covers the number of people that have attended as well. So we will get that information as we go through.
Thank you very much. That's really helpful.
Okay. We do actually put terms and conditions on the grants letters when they go out as well. So if there's something very specific, and it could be ensuring the money stays for use in Charnwood. But when we send out the sort of letter saying how much we're going to pay and all the details about monetary evaluation, if there are any, obviously you'll see here there's panel recommendations, we would always put that in the covering letter and ask them to contact us directly if they had any questions. So letter goes out from me, and if it, I've had instances where they've just wanted to question something and clarify it, so there's that process as part of it as well.
And if it's a new project that's ongoing, that, and it's great, we've got a number of new applications, and that's kind of what we're working really hard at. So it's the part of the questions we will ask is, if it's a repeat application, it's like, do they need the money? And also working with the VCS development officer, looking at signposting them to other sessions. So we know that the Lego group, for their ongoing running costs, have been successful from somewhere else, working with the VCS development officer. So that's really positive. So we're taking them to the next stage now in terms of what we're giving them a grant for. Somebody potentially will go out and do a visit. So, you know, I know that one of the officers has been out to the Lego group. We work very closely with GoGetter, so lots of officers go out to look at various of their sessions. Without walls, probably somebody will go out and do a visit at some point because it's an ongoing session.
Yeah. Thank you. Any members else with any other questions? Thank you, members. Thank you very much. So I will actually go now. Are all the members happy for me to actually do a summary of the recommendations on page 4 and page 5 of the agenda item, which is the recommendations 1 to 4 are recommended, and the reasons behind it is 1 to 4 as well. Are we happy? I'm not going to read it all out.
Yeah.
Are you happy with that? Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please, for that?
Yeah. I'll second.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, and if we don't see you, happy Christmas.
Yes,
hello.
Happy New Year as well.
Right.
I think we're all right now.
Okay.
Yeah, the box seat warm.
Yeah.
Right. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much. May I actually, second part is 6B of the Cabinet report. Can we actually have the lead member to give a short overview, please?
So, before you, we've got a request to write off business rates debt relating to three companies, KS Shepshed, a company which tried to enter into a company voluntary arrangement but which were rejected by Her Majesty's Revenues and Customs, and they called a meeting of creditors and entered into liquidation on the 13th of October 2017. And the liquidators anticipate a small dividend payment to creditors, but to date we have received nothing, and in honesty I think it's pretty unlikely we will receive anything. If we do, we can write it back, and that was in respect of KM Shepherd Limited. On the Surrey Pubs and Inns Limited, you can see that they took occupation of the property on the 13th of December 2013, and after various actions, the company was dissolved on the 27th of February 2018. We have little chance of recovering any money on that. The Earl of Earl Pubs Limited, we've employed two sets of company enforcement agencies to try and recover that money, and again this company was dissolved on the 3rd of July 2018. Once they've gone into being dissolved, the chances of recovering the money is very little. Now the amounts that are owed are showed on page 35. And you can see Earl Pubs Limited is owes us the best part of 50,000, the KM Shepshed 21,000, and Surrey Pubs 23,000. These aren't amounts that are all due to us. Our liability on this is roughly 9% of the debt outstanding. The rest is actually money that we've collected on behalf of Leicestershire County Council, the Leicester Fire Authority, and the police. So our section of that money which we are liable for is 9% of the total, or roughly. I don't want to be too specific, but it's about there. So it's a tenth of what is shown there. The the other people will suffer the rest. As far as what impact is it likely to have on us as a council, we already have a provision for bad debts to allow for this already in the accounts, which will mean that it should not have any material impact on the financial accounts for the year 2018-2019. It's not something that we want. I think, in fact, it's exactly what we don't want. We have made substantial effort with all three companies to recover the money, as you would expect, and there comes a time when you have to accept that a limited company has limited liability. If there are no assets, and we've done everything we possibly can to recover the money, to hold these amounts on our balance sheet as an asset would be wrong, and therefore we are requesting that these amounts are written off and taken off the balance sheet. Okay.
Thank you. Simon, have you got anything to add to?
No, I think it's a comprehensive explanation from Councillor Barclay there, so I think I'm nothing further to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Has any of the members of the committee got any questions? Yes, Matthew.
Through you, Chair. Thank you very much for explaining what you did. It did answer a few of the questions. Firstly, though, what kind of provisions do we set for writing off bad debt? What level? Because you say that it's unlikely to affect our budget, but do we know what provisions we've got set aside to actually allow for this?
Not precisely, but it's in the hundreds of thousands of pounds. So, of course, this is going to go to Cabinet due to the amounts involved.
Of course, yeah.
But we obviously write off small amounts on an ongoing basis. We usually, as part of the sort of yearly review and process of this, we usually look at provisions for non-payment of debt, which is sort of usually in the sort of £200,000 or £300,000 sort of area in total for every. So we create that provision every year, and then that sort of moves, and there's some from the previous year, or we use up. So we do set quite substantial provisions every year. But that's actually dwarfed by the amount of provisions we set for payments to the Valuation Office. But that's a sort of a different story. The provisions are very substantial.
There is substantial provisions, yep. But also, there is, as Simon says, the amount that we put aside for that is dwarfed by the amount we set aside to allow for any successful appeals against us, which is really substantial.
Yeah, thank you very much. That does answer another one of my questions, actually. I do have a couple more, though.
Yeah.
Okay. The procedure that we follow to write off debt, obviously, we collect business rates on behalf of the other services which you mentioned. Do we have to seek any sort of kind of authorisation from them to write this off, because obviously they'd be writing it off as well, wouldn't they?
No, we don't. How it sort of all washes through the collection fund, which gets sort of quite technical. What we do on sort of on an informal basis, and through actually passing information and returns, is let the county and the police and the combined fire authority where we are with this situation. So we agree with them up front where we are. We will discuss the provisions, but then actually the operationally the debt and the write-offs is actually down to us. I mean, you identify a good point there, though, so clearly there's a courtesy. We need to keep those major preceptors informed of any major decisions that we take. Councillor Barclay said we only get a relatively small amount. It's fair to say the county and the fire authority only get a similar amount to us. So the biggest losers in this, to the tune of probably about 75-80%, is actually central government, the way the numbers work for us. But we certainly have a courtesy and information we do pass to the county and the police, the county and the fire authority.
Okay.
Not the police, the county and the fire authority are recipients of it.
Thank you for that explanation. I only have one more question. Just in relation, because these are substantial amounts of money, what do we do in managing the rise in debts to try and mitigate, obviously, reaching this, the debtors reaching this level of debt?
Well,
within the paper, it shows, I'm not trying to avoid the question, but it does show the actions we've taken. Some of them have been ongoing for a long time,
yes,
and we've employed enforcement agents and the like. So in one case too. We've also not the company voluntary arrangement whereby we would have been paid an amount. HM Customs and Excise rejected that. So I think it would be fair to say that we make substantial efforts to do it too. We don't just write it off at the first try. You can see some of these have been going on for a long, long time, many years. Surrey Pubs particularly has been going on for the last 5 years. We've been trying to get the debt back. Yeah. Once the company is actually wound up and dissolved, there is little point in going further, because the liquidator, whoever's looking at it, will tell us if there's a dividend, and inevitably in these sort of things the liabilities weigh the assets, because that's why the company is wound
up. Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And that's so to try and reassure you, we don't want the debt to go. We're collecting money on behalf of everyone else, so we make substantial efforts in every area to try and get it back.
Thank you, I appreciate your answer, but I think my question might have been slightly misconstrued. Is there any action that we can take earlier on? Until a company dissolves.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, and we have, and we've even gone to the extent of allowing them to catch up by monthly payments. In one of the cases, you'll see, we did exactly that for one year of business rates,
yep.
But they then failed to pay the other set of business rates, and then just went away. So I think as soon as there is arrears, we take action to bring it to their attention. We don't just let it build up willy-nilly. As soon as it starts going into arrears, we contact them. We're not completely draconian to begin with. We will try and work with the people. It's not in our interest to see businesses fail within the borough, to make life so difficult for them that they have no chance of paying. So it's a double-edged sword, really, because if we're too awkward with them, all they will do is put a limited company, they'll dissolve it and walk away from us.
Yep.
And we will work within the bounds of reason to try and nurse the business along and back to health. But at the end of the day, the rates are owed and we need to get them, and that's what we do.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any further questions? Anybody got any further questions on the committee? No. Right. I will then, if the committee's happy, I will go for the purpose of the report and the recommendations, which that follows the debt to be written off of £21,932.31 owed by KM Shepshed Limited. Number 2, £24,609.61 owed by Surrey Pubs and Inns Limited. And number 3, £51,907.95 owed by Earl Pubs Limited. And the reason behind this is the normal enforcement stroke recovery and tracing of these deaths have been exhausted and written off is now the only alternative. Is the committee happy with that? Can I have a proposal and a seconder, please? So, thank you very much. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chair.
Right, I'm going to go to agenda item 7. Can I hand over to you, Jeff, please?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So this is a report back to the Overview Scrutiny Group, setting out the Cabinet's responses to matters that you consider that previous meetings, and the particular case of meetings on October the 18th, and there are two items. The first one was the future cemetery provision, and the second one was the future options for the revenue and benefits service future provision. So what you have there is an appendix which sets out what you recommended to Cabinet and then what they decided. And you can see in both cases that you'd recommended to Cabinet that they approve the reports that were submitted to them, and that's what they did. Yeah. So this is provided to you for information for you to know as a committee chair.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much. May we go to item 8, the work programme, please, Jeff.
So item eight is in the standard format. So the first part sets out the areas that as an overview scrutiny group you are able to look at within the committee's scope. So that is scrutiny of external public service providers, scrutiny of outside bodies, and scrutiny of services which are shared with other local authorities. That's in addition to your pre-decision scrutiny of cabinet items.
Yes.
So what you have attached to the report is an appendix one, is your current work programme. And you'll see from there that apart from the standing items on the agenda, at your next meeting in January, we've got an item scheduled which is regarding discretionary HMO licensing. That is something that has already been programmed. The only information I can give you about that is following our discussion last week with members of the Cabinet, it's possible that that decision may actually be deferred until a later Cabinet date. But whenever it is, you've got that already programmed into your work programme. There are no other items in your current work programme until June 2019, which, as some members have already pointed out to me previously, is after the next borough elections. So you then have, this is where my paperwork goes a bit awry, you then have the forward plan of key decisions, the most recent one, and that sets out all the cabinet key decisions that are currently identified. And they really start in January, which is a report on strategic and private sector housing fees and charges policy, I should say. And that is to consider strategic and private sector housing fees and charges policy to make sure that the council is using all of its powers to recover the full cost of providing services. So that is a January cabinet item. Mm-hmm. That's one, if you wish to, you could decide that you want to put that into your work programme, or alternatively you can wait until the January cabinet agenda is published, which will be obviously early in the new year, and you can make a decision at that point when you've seen the published report whether that's something that you want to bring here for pre-decision scrutiny.
Can I open it to the board? What does the members around the table think? Yes,
Matthew. So I propose that we wait until we've seen the reports from Cabinet.
Yeah, can I have a second? Yeah, okay, thank you.
The next key decisions are in February, three of them. One's around changing council tax arrangements regarding empty homes. The second one is around the council's treasury management strategy for 2019-20, which is a statutory document that we must have. And the third item is the budget, the 2019-20 general fund and HRA revenue budgets. Now, of course, the revenue budgets are in draft form going to cabinet this week, and they're then subject to scrutiny. The budget scrutiny panel is meeting to consider the budget, so you may feel, given that process and that the budget itself goes to council in February, you may feel that it's not necessary for you to look at it here. The other two items, I don't believe have any other pre-decision scrutiny, but as I said a moment ago, you can wait until you see those published reports before you decide whether or not you wish to consider them here at MSG.
Yeah, I think you have.
Yeah, likewise, Chair,
yeah,
I think.
Okay.
That's sensible.
You've then got several items in March. Again, some of these do find their way to Cabinet through other scrutiny channels. So you have a capital plan amendment report which contains any updates to capital plan relating to that quarter of the financial year. It's about the existing capital plan, it's not about a new one. The next one is the new annual procurement plan, so that is for next year, that's for 2019-20. Following that, the housing capital programme for 2019-20. Obviously, that's usually quite a substantial amount of money that's being spent, and this report sets out the detail of how that capital programme will be provided next year, the items that are within the programme and the budget for that. You've then got the local development scheme, which is essentially the timetable for the preparation of the local plan. This is a statutory requirement that the council has to update on an annual basis. So we'll be taking a report to next March's cabinet to do that. And then the final item for next March as a key decision is the council's business plan for 2019-20. So they're all quite significant, substantial items on the March cabinet. Again, you don't need to make a decision about whether to schedule those for your work programme now, because you can again see those reports when they're published and make a decision at that point next March.
Committee?
Yeah, March looks very interesting. I think we'll wait and see what happens for February's meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if it's fairly light, it might be worth pulling a couple of those in into February if need be. But I don't think any need to make a decision at this time.
Yeah, can I have a seconder for that? And can I have somebody second? Yes, thank you, John. Right, okay, thank you.
So beyond the chair, you're into June 2019, which, as I say, is after the borough election, so you may not wish to consider anything else at this point.
If everybody bears with me, I think we just leave it on to that to March, and then I think we'll appropriately look at everything after May.
Yeah.
Yes, from May onwards, yes. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for your time, and thank you. And have a safe journey home.
Thank you.
And if I don't see any of you, have a lovely Christmas.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.